Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures.
We invite you to our gospel meeting featuring Wendell Fikes from Tupelo, Mississippi, whom you've heard on our radio program. He'll be here September 29th through October 2nd. For details, visit our website.
2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, "The Sinner's Prayer." Some time ago, while going down an aisle at a grocery store, a kindly lady with a little child in her arms reached out and handed me a small folded religious leaflet entitled, "A Camel and His Master" by Henry G. Perry. Mr. Perry began his reasoning with Aesop's fable of the camel and his master. He used this fable to make the point that Satan is always trying to get advantage of us by deceit and trickery, and that's true. Then he comments, "It is a wonderful thing to be able to say that the Lord Jesus is my Savior and He will protect me against the trickery and the deceit of Satan." And abruptly, the writer asks this question, "Have you made your decision?" Quote, "The following prayer is an example of one that you can use as you come to God." Listen as I read it. "Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you confessing that I have sinned and broken your laws. I am sorry for my sin, and I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth to die for me and my sins and rose again from the dead that I too might have eternal life. Please forgive me. I invite you into my life and give Jesus Christ the right to take control of the rest of my life. Please help me to be what you want me to be. I thank you for saving me and accepting me, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." The man says that this prayer, commonly called the sinner's prayer, is all that's necessary for a lost person to say in order to be saved. Accordingly, anyone who will pray the sinner's prayer will be saved from his or her sins. Note what he exhorts the sinners to say: "Thank you, God, for saving me and accepting me, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." We ask, what did the sinner do to be saved? Nothing. The sinner repeated about 100 words from what some man had written out for him to say. According to the faith-only preachers, anyone who has just uttered this prayer and dies immediately, that person would be saved. That person would go to heaven. And yet Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Lord emphasized doing the will of God, not saying some human prescribed word formula for salvation. Again, Jesus emphatically said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The sinner's prayer words will not save. Christ requires more than words to be saved. The words of the sinner's prayer will not save a sinner according to the instructions of the Scriptures. The Scriptures unmistakably require every sinner to be taught. That implies teaching and instruction. Dr. Luke wrote, "Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to him, to the jailer at Philippi, and to all who were in his house." Acts chapter 16 and verse 32. The sinner's prayer omits teaching, but the Scriptures require teaching. Saul prayed, but needed to obey God's commands to be saved. Hear the instruction given to the sinner Saul. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, we began reading. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" The Lord didn't tell Saul, "Pray the sinner's prayer, and you'll be saved." The Bible says, "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." Verse 9, "He was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord came to him in a vision and said, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." Consider these facts. Saul had been praying for 3 days. Was Saul praying the sinner's prayer? If so, the sinner's prayer had not saved him. Why? Because Saul was still in his sins when Ananias the teacher came in. Ananias entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul." Ananias called him brother because they were Jewish people and brethren after a fleshly order. Nothing to do with Saul's salvation. "The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. Ananias said, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. So Saul arose and was baptized. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. Ananias followed the Lord's instruction and taught Saul the conditions to be saved. The Scriptures require teaching as a first condition of salvation. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be taught by God." John chapter 6 and verse 45. Teaching facts about Jesus and what Jesus did are essential conditions of salvation taught in the Bible. No person in the history of humanity has ever pleased God or been acceptable to Jesus by lip service or just saying a few words. Is the sinner's prayer the same instruction that the apostles gave sinners in the first century? No. The instruction the apostles gave to those who wanted to be saved from sin was not remotely similar to the human-designed so-called sinner's prayer. Faith-only advocates promote this sinner's prayer for salvation often and routinely from their pulpits, from the radio, and from TV sermons. In biblical conversions, sinners always heard God's word taught first. Of their free will, then, they accepted the truth and were willing to believe what they were taught. They were ready to repent, confess, and be immersed in water baptism as conditions of salvation. These requirements are incorporated or embodied in every conversion recorded in the New Testament. There's no exception. We will establish that these conditions are necessary to salvation later in our study. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, John chapter 6 and verse 45. Salvation, according to the Scriptures, requires teaching or instruction about God's plan of redemption for us. Jesus commanded his apostles, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Question: how were disciples to be made in the first century? Disciples or converts to Christ were to be made by teaching them what to do to be saved. Teaching is the first component of a sinner's salvation. Every sinner must be taught to be saved. Salvation will not come to the sinner simply by saying a few words as suggested in the sinner's prayer. The sinner responds to the teaching by hearing what is taught. The sinner must receive and understand what is taught. A sinner can believe what the Word of God says without doing what God commands and remain lost and still in his or her sins. James said, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James explains his point in verse 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James chapter 1 and verse 25. Blessing of the Lord does not come by hearing or saying, but blessing comes by doing. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. James chapter 2 and verse 19. But the demons were not saved. Believing demons will not be saved, and sinners who believe only will not be saved either. Faith only, without further acts of obedience, will not save a sinner. Remember what Jesus said? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. The Lord always gave special attention and emphasized doing and obeying his instruction. The sinner's prayer doesn't mention obedience. It's not enough just to hear what Jesus says. The sinner must obey what Jesus commands. And they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Taught, heard, learned, and comes to the Father. Jesus had said earlier in this same text, but you are not willing to come to me, that you may have eternal life. John chapter 5 and verse 40. Matthew wrote, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, lest they understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. Some will not respond to the appeal of the gospel because of their own wrong-headed and corrupt hearts. A sinner must come to Jesus. But how? Examine a Bible text with us that gives an account, in order of occurrence, how an official treasurer of Ethiopia was saved according to the teaching and instruction of an inspired preacher. Quickly note that the inspired instruction differs drastically from the man-made teaching identified as the sinner's prayer. We'll read from the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. The Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go to the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." He arose and went. "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had charge of all of her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah." Verse 30, "Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Verse 31, he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth.' Verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The Ethiopian answered Philip, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached to him Jesus. Verse 37, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. They came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the Ethiopian saw him no more, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. The persons involved were Philip, preacher of God's truth. The traveler was a man of Ethiopia, a state official of high rank under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had charge of the queen's treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. The officer was on his way home. He was traveling in a chariot and reading from an Old Testament passage in Isaiah chapter 53. The officer inquired of Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Verse 34 from the ESV. Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Verse 35. What is meant by the expression, "preach Jesus to him"? Well, let the Bible give us an answer. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Observe verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, both men and women were baptized." Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. The Ethiopian confessed his faith in Jesus. Verse 37. When he had heard about Jesus, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." When Philip preached to the Ethiopian, what did he preach? He preached Christ. Philip preached about the kingdom, about the church. He preached about the name of Christ. He told the Ethiopian to believe. Verse 37. He preached repentance. It's implied because Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. He instructed the Ethiopian to confess, as he did in verse 37. When the Ethiopian learned what to do to be saved, he wanted to be immersed in water. How do we know he wanted to be baptized? By what he requested of Philip. The Ethiopian said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The Ethiopian replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Ethiopian commanded his chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and he, Philip, baptized him, the Ethiopian. And being baptized, the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Verse 39. Why did the Ethiopian man rejoice? Because he was saved. He was now a believer. He was now a doer as Jesus commanded. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Everyone who seeks remission of his or her sins must be taught about Jesus and his kingdom before he or she comes to Jesus. All must hear the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Everyone must believe the truth about Jesus. All must repent of sins. Each one must confess that Jesus is God's Son, and every penitent believer will desire to be immersed in water immediately for the remission of his or her sins in order to be saved. Then Jesus will add you, a saved person, to his church. When Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian, he told him what he must do to be saved. He must hear the gospel. He must believe it. He must confess his sins and repent and be immersed in water baptism to have his sins forgiven. Remember when Saul prayed, Ananias came to him and said, Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. A sinner has sins until he has been baptized. Philip preached Jesus and taught the officer who Jesus was and what Jesus did to save him. The Ethiopian responded to Philip's instruction by doing what he was taught. Philip did not tell the Ethiopian, just say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. We urge you to carefully read and study what sinners were told to do by the apostles and the inspired men recorded in the book of Acts, beginning with Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 19. You'll learn what to do to be saved. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Oh, wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his arm, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout to the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m.
We invite you to our gospel meeting featuring Wendell Fikes from Tupelo, Mississippi, whom you've heard on our radio program. He'll be here September 29th through October 2nd. For details, visit our website.
If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the scriptures with us this morning.